Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
This is AJ and Dusty.
Let's go, Dutch! What's up, Oregon?
With Coin 6 sportscaster AJ McCord.
You never believe you're out of a fight. You never believe you're out of a game. Where did that come from?
It's having some pride. Having belief.
And Dusty, the fan man, Hera.
Jonathan Smith, Oregon State head football coach. Do you have a fullback that it will run his head through a wall?
Yeah, we've got that thought.
AJ and Dusty on 1080.
I proved it up. I'm not running from nobody.
The Fan.
Number two, AJ and Dusty in the afternoon. We'll have more NBA Finals thoughts with our buddy Gabe Neitzel from ESPN Milwaukee.
Do you think he slept?
Oh, probably not. No.
You don't think he's... Mm-mm. I can't imagine that he has.
They're doing this thing called a championship parade. Yeah. So they've been like planning that whole thing out and how that's going to work.
Cool.
So effing jealous. So we'll talk to Gabe at 1:30. It'll be a happy conversation. Numbers Lie coming up about 10 minutes from now. But Kevin O'Connor from The Ringer, which does long form articles, and O'Connor does a really good job covering the NBA. He's been talking with folks around the league about which teams are the most aggressive in pursuing Damian Lillard, senior. They're not too interested in junior yet. He's got a little bit more time. But Damian Lillard, senior.
I mean, just saying. Did you see him at All-Star or at Team USA?
Yeah, I mean, it's never too early.
There's some trade talks going
never
on.
Never too early.
Between the kiddos, the next generation.
Yeah, who is he sitting with? He's sitting with Draymond's kids, Tatum's kid?
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah.
But O'Connor has this report. There are five teams aggressively pursuing Damian Lillard. They are the New York Knicks.
Yeah.
The Miami Heat.
Interesting.
Very interesting. The Philadelphia 76ers, which we knew.
Expected.
I mean, we'd heard the...
Yeah.
They, Daryl Morey's like a Dame for Ben Simmons.
LOL.
Okay. But then there's two surprising ones. He added... The Sacramento Kings.
What?
Yeah. And I don't like, look, here's the thing with teams like Sacramento is that they have the 9th overall pick, which, okay. And then they have De'Aaron Fox, and that's about it. Like, that doesn't seem like a team that Lillard would want to go to.
No. No, he wants to win a title.
They're in a better place than, say,
not once they have
other
to give
team.
Everything up, though.
Well, I know. The other team that is being offered up here as an aggressive team is the Houston Rockets, which they've got a buttload of picks, the only second to the Oklahoma City Thunder in draft capital over the next handful of years. So they have that, but they have nothing else to offer outside of draft capital and the number two pick this year. Those two seem very surprising as teams that would be aggressively trying to pursue Damian Lillard.
Well, not really. Like, if Damian Lillard were actually on like a tradable sort of on the trade block, like if he was actually out there,
right,
it would not be just five teams coming up with aggressive offers. It would be like 17 teams coming up with aggressive offers. So all we know right now is these five teams are either A, desperate enough to just put something massive together in the hopes that maybe someday it'll change and they'll get credit for like being first, or think they know something that maybe everyone else does not yet, which is that he may actually be tradable.
Well, and I don't think that that's it. I find that's it interesting that they are wanting, like they think that they have a package worthy of going out and acquiring a guy like a Damian Lillard, because neither one of these teams really have any assets. And you go, so are they just trying to see it, like gauge the temperature of the water? Mm. Because literally nothing that they could offer would be, and that would indicate like, hey, we think Portland would be full on rebuild mode.
Right.
Which that should not be any sort of the conversation that the Blazers are having right now. In all of these reports, all five of those teams comes with a big caveat that Kevin O'Connor said, and this is huge, and I think bears repeating and needs to be repeated, is that executives that he has talked to, O'Connor that is, do not believe Damian Lillard will be traded this offseason.
Right.
Or this season. So what you're looking at is teams are reaching out and say, truly trying to see what is available right now. And when you have teams like Philly and Miami, they know they have to win, and they have to win right now. Mm-hmm. So they have to do that due diligence. There are teams, though, according to O'Connor, that are saying, all right, well, hey, we'll try it. And yep. We'll see what happens here. The good news, if you're a Blazer fan, is that these are how, and I have always said that, like, hey, when Philly reaches out and say Lillard for Simmons, at least you have them on the phone where you go, no, but
yeah,
let me try to sell you on this. And that's how you can improve your roster, is you got to be active in making an effort to be active on that.
Exactly. And you think about where the Kings and the Rockets are. And of course, they have to throw everything and anything at the wall to see what sticks. And so if there is even the slightest potential that Damian Lillard were to become available, of course they're going to throw their name in the hat. But that does not mean that they're anywhere close to being at the quote-unquote top of the pack.
And this is why, with everything that is going to be coming out over this offseason, it's very important. Be wary of whatever you see out there, because like all of the, like there's this report of five teams, but that is a huge caveat,
right?
Of executives don't believe, like the executives, the reporter is and writer is talking to don't believe that he's even going to be moved.
Right.
This is a, we want to be at least having an open dialogue if that time comes,
yep.
Or for some people, when that time comes, right, that Lillard is going to request a trade.
We are in content creation season of the offseason, right? Like that is what the offseason is. There's not the game storylines. There's not the team storylines yet. There's not even the draft storylines yet, right? Of like who's drafted whom and how that's going to affect blah, blah, blah. So we are in purely content creation, which means you're going to see a lot of if then. A lot of if this were to happen, then statements. Yep. That does not mean the if should be ignored. The if is the most important part of any article that is an if then article. You have to do the testing here, because your timelines, your news feeds, they're going to be flooded with content. So to help your heart rate, your stress level, just read it all very carefully before we go into panic mode.
Yeah. Like this text, John Wall and Christian Wood, dude, with the number two pick. No, I don't think anybody here is saying, let's go get that. That'd be awesome. Mm. You know, but there are fans. I don't like it. And this is why you sit there and you go, this discussion is not going to go away around Lillard. The conversations will continue to happen as long as the Blazers sit idle and don't do squat to improve the roster.
Yes. Well, it's not a roster construction issue, Dusty.
It's an... I almost swore. It's a roster...
Careful.
It is a roster construction issue, AJ.
Your foot can't be that far out the door on vacay.
Ah, man. So that's an interesting little note aside from the NBA finals of today, that Kevin O'Connor of The Ringer says there are some usual suspects. You've got the Knicks, Miami, Philly. They're going to be aggressive in any trade market that is available. But the Sacramento Kings and Houston Rockets also kicking the tires on Portland. That's a little bit less expected because what are you guys thinking? But hey, you know what? I applaud their general managers because at least they're trying.
A for effort.
At least they're trying. They say numbers never lie. Oh, we will prove to you sometimes they do. Numbers lie next on The Fan. Okay, we've got college football realignment news coming up.
Jeez, the drama.
See this one?
I did, only because you pointed it out to me. Yeah. It happened in the show.
Do you buy it?
Houston
Chronicle says that Texas and Oklahoma have reached out to the SEC saying, hey, can we come join you?
You got any room at the pool party?
Y'all got any room for us?
I'd like to play.
Okay. So that is a report out of the Houston Chronicle. What that means, we'll have at the end of the hour. But right now, we've got Numbers Never Lie. Well.
All right. Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Okay.
Etched his name into the record books.
Mm-hmm.
50 points, 14 rebounds, 5 block shots.
Oh, good.
Game 6 win, title win. Also, per Elias Sports, is Giannis the second or third player in the past 50 years to score 33 points in a finals half?
Second.
Yeah.
In the wait, the last how many years?
50.
In the last 50 years.
So since 71.
Yes. Yes. Second.
I'll say second.
Michael Jordan, the only other one.
I was trying to think if there'd be anybody else.
Michael Jeffrey Jordan.
I thought you might have.
Not Michael B. Jordan.
Oh, jeez.
I thought some people might have gone.
Stop wrinkling.
With a Kobe, but Kobe didn't score that many in his finals.
No. And when you put 50 years on it, I mean that goes back to 1971.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's been a lot of really great scorers that have played in that time.
In the finals.
In the finals.
That's the hard part.
Yeah, that is the hard part.
Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, ever heard of him?
Yeah.
Yeah, you have.
Yeah.
All-time scoring leader.
All right, Chris Middleton was also part of that victory. He didn't really play that well in games 2 or 3, but he was pretty good the rest of the way. True or false, Chris Middleton had 18 points on 75% shooting in clutch points in the finals. Here's the true or false part. Was that the most by any player in this series?
Can you read that stat line one more time?
Let me just make it very simple.
Yeah.
Did Chris Middleton have the most clutch points of any player in the finals?
Yeah, he was huge down the stretch of almost every win that they had. So, yes, that's final 5 minutes when a game is within
five
points, right? Yes, he was huge in those minutes.
I think so, yes.
Huge.
Yeah. Wow, 2 for 2. Look at us today.
Dang.
Yes, Middleton had a very good game.
Uh-huh. These are facts.
Yeah.
18 points, 75% shooting. That's pretty damn good. The most by any player, the next closest had 4 points in that stretch.
Oh.
That was Devin Booker.
Hmm.
It's kind of weird. He scored all those 50 points, 40-point games, and then couldn't come up in the clutch.
Yep.
CP3, Booker, Jay Crowder, mm-hmm. DeAndre Ayton. Nobody could. Nobody.
No one. All right, a third person has been arrested over the theft of a valuable Big Bird costume that was stolen from a circus in Adelaide, Australia, earlier this year.
Okay.
a Big Bird costume?
Yes, like the Sesame Street character.
Okay.
Two men have been arrested, already appeared in court for it. Over under costume costs $180,000.
A Big Bird circus costume. I'm going under $180,000.
I feel like I have to go over because why are you stealing it?
Yeah.
Why are you stealing it?
Or this is one of those ones where it's like, really, of course it's going to be an absurdly large amount.
Yeah,
I'm going
I'll
under
go
still.
Over.
So AJ,
I'm going under, but I still think it's going to be over $100,000.
Ah!
It's $160,000.
Wow.
It's still very expensive.
That's a very expensive.
See, that is stupid.
Character costume. What?
Was it made from real feathers?
Of like an endangered bird or something?
The Big Bird costume was returned a few days after being stolen, along with an apology letter signed by, quote unquote, the Big Bird Bandits.
Wow.
Oh my gosh.
The note found in the beak of the costume apologized for being such a big burden.
Oh,
and
no.
Yes, burden was spelled with an I and an R.
Oh, wow.
Why did they steal it?
Well, I'd hope Burden had an R in it.
Quote unquote, we had no idea what we were doing or what actions this would cause. We were just having a rough time and we were trying to cheer ourselves up. We had a great time with Mr. Bird. He's a great guy and no harm came to our friend.
All right.
Still can't steal stuff that doesn't belong to you.
I mean, when I'm bored and I would need to be cheered up,
don't do that. You'll end up in prison, apparently.
Theft is what I do. Larceny is the route. No. No.
No.
Okay.
No. All right. Nope. Too many other options.
That's fair.
Find another option.
The costume is 213 centimeters tall. That can't be right. Wait, that's pretty big, isn't it? I'm thinking of centimeters, and that seems small, but I'm also terrible at math.
I don't know. I'm American, so I'm just stupid on anything metric.
That is 85 inches. So 83, rather. So that's a few feet.
Yeah, it's almost 7 feet.
Yeah.
That's a few feet.
It's a big bird.
Feet.
Almost seven.
So it's just not a creative name.
No, it's in fact a really big bird.
All right.
Did you like that one?
I did. I liked it a lot.
Oh, my
I liked
gosh.
It a lot. I like it a lot.
All right, here we go. Last one. Florida man arrested after trying to throw an alligator on the roof of a home. To quote unquote,
that's what I do.
Teach it a lesson.
I'm sorry. Teach the alligator a lesson?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay.
William Hodge from Homestead was arrested on Thursday after he stole an alligator from a miniature golf course, beat it.
What?
And
beat
then
it?
Tried throwing it on the roof of a beachside cocktail lounge.
Oh,
what?
Okay.
The officer said in a police report they saw Hodge beat the alligator against the wall of the building by swinging it.
No.
And then he threw it up onto the roof.
Dear God.
Oh.
Said he was teaching it a lesson.
What did this gator do to him?
I don't know. Maybe it pissed him off.
Well, obviously.
I have a question for both of you before we get to the actual question. Would you do the same thing to a Canadian goose?
That's the answer. Carefully, PETA's listening.
Yeah.
If that goose,
we can stop our pearl clutching.
If that goose needed a lesson,
I would not beat an animal against a building. If it came at me, there's a chance my foot would collide with it, but I would not beat it repeatedly against a house and then throw it on a roof.
Yeah, definitely not to just teach it a lesson.
Yeah. If there's a self-defense element here.
I mean, you know. I'd like to hear what the lesson is first. I don't want to rush to judgment.
You want to hear his side?
Yeah.
Well, we can't hear the gator side, so.
Good point.
That's what it would be.
What's your question?
The weight of a large male alligator, according to the Smithsonian National Zoo and Conservation Biology Institute.
That's where I go for my gator info.
Over under 650 pounds.
Under. Mm. You said an average gator?
No, I said large.
A large adult.
Oh, yeah, large.
I'm going over. I'm going over. Those things are dense.
Yeah, I'll still go under. 650 is really effing big.
It is, but have you ever seen a large gator?
They're large.
They're ginormous. Mm.
It's a good point.
Like dinosaurs.
I'm still going under. I'm sticking to my guns here.
Damn. Ha! Someone should have watched Shark Week. Gators on there every once in a while.
It's a gator. It's not Gator Shoot. Week.
I know, but AJ. They have it on there. They do shark and gator comparisons all the time.
How much do they weigh?
Male alligators are larger than female alligators. The average adult size for a female is 8.2 feet. And the average size of a male is 11.2 feet. Exceptionally large males can reach a weight nearly half a ton or 1,000 pounds.
Wow.
Ugh. Wait, does it say why the guy needed to teach the gator a lesson?
This guy obviously
like we need to put a bow on this.
Yeah, was this guy, what the hell is going on here?
The music.
This is another wrinkle because he was throwing a baby gator around.
Well, yeah. You didn't think he was
Well, I didn't know.
A baby gator.
A smaller gator for him to be able to hit it against a building.
And then throw it onto a roof?
Yeah.
Either that or he's the world's strongest. Was it Magnus vs. Magnuson?
I just need to know what the gator did.
I don't think we'll ever know.
It's Florida, so here, AJ, I'll give you peace of mind here. It's Florida. He looked at the guy the wrong way. And the guy was like, nah!
I need more. I'm going to need you to email me this article. I'm going to do some research.
I bet you that is what happened. He's like, I need to teach that thing a lesson. It looked at me the wrong effing way.
Then did he end up in prison? I hope so.
Because yeah,
there's signs
jail.
All over Florida that say, don't harass the gators.
Mm-hmm. All right. That is Numbers Lie with William Darkins under the Rousing Edition. Thank you, Will. Coming up next, it's a party in Milwaukee. Gabe Neitzel, host of Jen, Gabe, and Chewy in the Mornings on ESPN Milwaukee, joins us after Will with SportsCenter. Milwaukee Bucks are NBA champs for the first time in 50 years, finishing off the NBA Finals last night. 105-98 over the Phoenix Suns. We've been talking a ton about that game, that series, and their star, Giannis Antetokounmpo. And joining us to shed a little light on it is Gabe Neitzel from ESPN Milwaukee's Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Thanks for the time, man. How you doing?
I am doing great. How are you guys doing?
Awesome. Look, you've got to just set the scene for us because you have 17,000 in Fiserv Arena. You've got 65,000 people outside of the arena in the Deer District. What has it been like in Milwaukee the last 24 hours?
Insanity, I guess would be the best word to describe it. And more estimates came in this morning, and they think it was closer to 80,000 people outside of Fiserv Forum. So then you add the 17 that were inside, and we're looking at 97,000 people in downtown Milwaukee last night to celebrate the Bucks winning a title in 6 games. It's something that is just so cool for the city of Milwaukee, because this was supposed to be us last summer. Like, we were supposed to be able to put what this city is starting to become once again on display. The DNC was supposed to be here last summer. The Bucks were good last year, best record in the NBA, potential for, you know, a finals last year to be on display for that national audience, and the Ryder Cup and all these things, and they were canceled because of the pandemic. So to, you know, fast forward a year to get the Bucks 3 games and then to win the championship and really win over, I think, a lot of people. I mean, they got Woj last night to chant Bucks in 6, you know, when he was here, especially when other people at ESPN are like, Milwaukee, I don't want to go there. I think Milwaukee as a city really showed out and was fantastic for all 3 of these games in the finals, watching our team win a title for the first time in 50 years.
Yeah, you talk about the city, the team also on that national display, to see a team that has really done it, as Giannis Antetokounmpo says, the hard way. They've stuck with their guys, but they've built around them. For this Bucks squad, try to walk us through what it took to get to the point where they have a championship roster and were able to surround Giannis and Chris Middleton with the pieces necessary to get this championship.
Well, I think it starts with the growth of both of those guys that you just mentioned. It starts with the growth of Giannis and Chris Middleton and Chris growing into a player that can score 20 points in the quarter in the NBA postseason, a guy that can score 40 points in an NBA Finals game. And then Giannis, for all the talk about Giannis, you know, going into this postseason, can he be the superstar of a championship team? Can he really close out games? Well, I think he answered those questions. Now, maybe Chris Middleton's taking the jumper late in the game, but in an NBA Finals closeout game, when you score 50 points, I think that answers any and all questions that some doubters had from you. And that doesn't forget Drew Holiday, who came in and embraced the city, embraced the team, because they needed him defensively. I mean, he had a couple of shots. His offense certainly up and down, roller coaster ride all throughout the course of the playoffs. But with what he was able to do to set the tone defensively was fantastic. P.J. Tucker, they don't beat the Nets without P.J. Tucker and his defense, and that was a midseason acquisition that really helped out the Bucks. You know, Pat Connaughton continuing to grow. It's all these pieces that kind of fit together and almost grew together. And then they add around the outside. I mean, Brook Lopez has been here, and we saw Brook's role change throughout the playoffs when Giannis goes out against the Hawks and they rely on Brook to be this low post scorer that he was with the Nets, you know, 5, 6, 7 years ago when he was an all-star with Brooklyn. So it's just all these pieces that came together, and they really do. It's a tight-knit group, and I think, you know, any championship team you'll hear this from, but this is a group of guys that care about each other because most of them have been through this grind together. They've heard these criticisms together and have been able to overcome all that adversity together.
Gabe Knights was our guest, host ESPN Milwaukee. And now take us back to November. You mentioned Drew Holiday. In November of last year, a 4-team deal brings Drew Holiday to Milwaukee. And they gave the Bucks gave up a ton to get him. Eric Bledsoe, George Hill, a couple first-round picks to bring him in. When you guys weren't talking about the Packers in that around that time in November, what was the conversation around Drew Holiday in that trade of really pushing all in for a guy that did you know he was going to be the guy to push you over the top?
That was certainly the hope. I mean, Eric Bledsoe, and as much as I liked Eric Bledsoe, there were certainly some offensive shortcomings where he just did not have confidence shooting the ball. Teams would leave him because they knew he wasn't going to hit that outside shot. And with the way that Giannis plays, you need guys that can shoot from the outside. So with the addition of Drew Holiday, I think there was some excitement. Yes, the price tag was large, but it's what the Bucks needed to do. They didn't have, you know, the salary cap availability to be able to go out and sign someone like Drew Holiday. So they had to give up some assets in terms of draft picks and Bledsoe and Hill in order to bring that guy in. And I think there was some excitement because people knew that with what Eric Bledsoe could do defensively, and he was first-team all-defense, second-team all-defense his last 2 years in Milwaukee, Drew Holiday could bring that intensity on defense and then add another level of that offense because he's someone that could shoot. So I think there was some excitement. Now, certainly throughout the course of the postseason, there were some, you know, fans going, man, we gave up a lot, and this is what he's showing. But I think in Game 5 you saw, and again, just what he does defensively, being a larger point guard and be able to switch and play defense in a number of different positions. It made the Bucks the versatile defensive team they needed to be in order to win a championship.
Give us a little bit of inside info or insight into Giannis and who he is as a person, because we saw him grow up, it felt like, as a basketball player almost before our eyes in this postseason, in the way that he went from just really figuring out how to carry a team, how to lead a team in an effective way to a championship run. And then he has all these quotes talking about humility and staying in the moment and doing it the hard way. Tell us a little, like, what can you share with us about Giannis and any interactions you've had with him or the kind of person that he is off the basketball court?
I mean, yeah, pretty incredible for a 26-year-old to be able to wax poetically in a language that's not his first. You know, and talking about humility and all those things, and the way he was able to talk, you know, last night when he, during the press conference, somebody asked him about, you know, you had that emotion right after the game, you had the tears, what were you thinking about during that? And he's able to put together the thoughts of, hey, this is what I love, this is what I want to do, this is everything I've always wanted, But I didn't get here alone. There were, my parents made sacrifices. My girlfriend makes sacrifices. My family, my teammates, all these people made sacrifices so we could get to this moment. And you talk about watching Giannis grow up as a basketball player. We have had the privilege here in Milwaukee to watch Giannis grow up as a human being. I mean, he was drafted as, you know, an 18-year-old, and he came over here. His family wasn't here with him initially. You know, and there were some adorable things that he would tweet out, like he just tried his first smoothie. God bless America. That was like one of the tweets that Giannis ever sent out. But there's a story that started making its rounds again, where Giannis, as a young rookie, had gone to a Western Union or something like that, and he was sending as much money as he could back home to his parents in Greece. And you know, it's November, December in Wisconsin, so it's cold. And once he sent the money, he realized he didn't have enough money to get a cab home. So he just started running. He started running back home, or, you know, and somebody, you know, recognized him, went, wait, isn't that the Bucks' new rookie? Because, you know, Giannis wasn't Giannis at this point, but he's still, you know, a 6'9", you know, lanky kid. And yeah, sure enough. And that, you know, he ended up getting a ride from these people to the arena, so, you know, he could get there on time. You know, there's just so many stories like that with Giannis. I don't know if you saw his Instagram live today where he's out at Chick-fil-A ordering 50 nuggets to celebrate his 50 point.
Dang right.
He's somebody who's just so joyful and so genuine. I think that the one thing about him is he's a really good person, and I think you see that. You see that come across in his press conferences. Giannis is never going to be anything but himself. Mm. Another story that I can think of, he number of times on the road will go out after a game, sign autographs, and, you know, there's some teammates that have pulled him aside at times and gone, hey, man, what are you going and doing that for? I mean, these guys are just hustlers. They're just going to take your autograph and go and sell it. And Giannis goes, yeah, I know that. But I used to be a hustler. I used to be one of them that would have to do something like that. So he understands and wants to give back. And that's I think that's what makes the bond between him and the city of Milwaukee and the Bucks fan base so special, is because he's just so genuine and he's so open with everyone that we as a fan base and a city have just latched on to him.
So you host a show at 7 a.m., 7 to 9 a.m., how did you sleep? Did you sleep?
Oh, not much. And we were on early. So we did an extra hour today. We jumped on at 6 a.m. Central Time. I mean, I probably fell asleep on my couch some point around 2 or 2:30.
Oh, geez.
And then, you know, I was up by 5 and still haven't slept because we've got, you know, we've got a parade to get ready for tomorrow. Yeah. Our sister station is the Bucks flagship, so we're going to be broadcasting live from around the parade routes. We've got some planning to do for that, and just the general energy of hearing all these people call in and talk about, you know, it's been the first time in 50 years for the Bucks, and share their stories of being a Bucks fan and how much last night meant to them, because they're able to share it with their son, daughter, their mom, their dad, their siblings. You know, it's been a burst of energy all day long hearing fans share their stories of how much this championship and this title has meant to them and their families. So not a ton of sleep, but I'm still feeling really good, still going strong.
Okay. I don't know, and I don't know how to frame this question, but I'll just go so I don't kill the buzz. Will the Milwaukee Bucks minority owner be arriving to the Green Bay Packers training camp at some point?
Oh, okay. So I thought that was going to go someplace different, because people were wondering if he'd show up to the game last night, maybe the parade tomorrow. And for that, I'm 100% certain he won't show up to the parade tomorrow, because Aaron Rodgers, you know, can be a prickly, you know, character from time to time, but he doesn't want to make it. He knows if he shows up at the parade, there is going to be a side story about him, and he does not want that. He wants tomorrow to be all about the Milwaukee Bucks and a celebration of the Bucks. Now, as for him showing up, a week from today's Wednesday, right? A week from today up in Green Bay. I just, unless something drastically changes in the 7 days, I don't see him showing up on time. Because as someone who is, you know, as stubborn as Aaron Rodgers can be, I don't think that he's going to make a big deal out of this all off season and then suddenly go, yeah, you know what, guys?
Yeah.
all's forgiven, I'm going to show up. So something has to change. I don't know what that is, but there has to be at least something to change so he can point to that and go, yes, this is what I wanted to change. Now we can go out and now we can try to win a Super Bowl.
With it, but at some point he will be there, you think?
It's such a hard situation to read. I really don't know. I mean, he is one of the more, and I say this as a person who's fairly stubborn themselves, he is one of the more stubborn people that I've come across. And, you know, that can be a good thing and it can be a bad thing. And I probably he eventually shows up, but I can see a scenario where he just decides, man, no, this place is broken. I don't care if it costs me this. Everybody needs to know my opinion on this.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm as skeptical as he. I'm also, I thought I was a pretty stubborn person, but I don't know if I'm stubborn enough to lose millions by not showing up to work. So we'll see.
All right, one last happy note then to send you off on. When is the parade and how sauced is the entire city going to be?
Oh, it's going to be unbelievable. I mean, I hope that the city is able to restock all the beer that was consumed from last night because they're going to even need more tomorrow. Yes. It starts at 11 a.m. They're going to have a parade through the city leading to Fiserv Forum, a championship celebration with a stage and all, you know, the things that go with that at 12:30 Central. So it's going to be a time in Milwaukee tomorrow. I mean, if there were nearly 100,000 people around Fiserv last night, I can't imagine what the entire city is going to look like tomorrow. But I'm imagining very few people are going to show up for work.
And I'm sorry, I know we got to let you go, but I need you to tell me, fact or fiction, there was a bar handing out free shots for every made Giannis free throw.
So that was in Mishicot, which is a little bit north of where the Ryder Cup is going to be played, near Sheboygan. Small little town bar. But yes, they were advertisement, free shots for every. I mean, it feels like a pretty safe thing, right? You know, he was 4 of 11 from the free throw line. You know, four shots. Nobody saw 17 of 19 from the free throw line coming from Giannis last night.
Looking like Steph Curry out on that charity stripe.
That town was wasted. Oh my goodness.
A lot of Uber drivers. My God.
I haven't woken up yet in Michigan.
Oh, man. Gabe Neitzel, ESPN Milwaukee. Go get some sleep, man, and enjoy every minute of this celebration there in Milwaukee. Thanks for the time.
Oh, yeah. You bet. Anytime.
There he is, Gabe Neitzel. It's a party, and it should be.
And let me tell you, from my one time at Lambeau Field when the Seahawks and the Packers played each other, Wisconsin can put back some brewskis.
Woof.
And I cannot imagine the scene in Milwaukee.
You mentioned it the hard way. Giannis said he did it the hard way, and it is never easy. And everyone thought when he said it, like Portland, yes! But Milwaukee isn't as close to Portland. Not as you might think on the surface. AJ and Dusty on the Fan and the Odyssey.
This is my city. You know, they trust me. They believe in me. They believe in us. Even when we were lost, the city still was like on our side. And, you know, obviously I wanted to get the job done. You know, but that's my stubborn side. Like, it's easy to go somewhere and go and win a championship with somebody else. It's easy. I don't want to put anybody in the spot, but I could go to a super team and, you know, just do my part and win a championship, still won. But this is the hard way to do it, and this is the way. And we did it. We did it, man.
I love it. That's Giannis Antetokounmpo following last night's NBA Finals victory for the Milwaukee Bucks. I think everybody that kind of heard that and you hear him say, we did it the hard way. We did it. Everybody thought of Damian Lillard here in Portland because Damian Lillard just said the exact same thing. Like, I don't want to take the easy way out of this. I want to win it the hard way. I want to be here and bring it to Portland. And that tune has changed in the last couple of months for Damian Lillard.
And it's important to note here, right, that the tune has changed because he's questioning if everybody else is as dedicated to the goal. That's what he said in that press conference. Mm-hmm. His tune has changed because every single offseason, that man goes and looks in the mirror first and says, what can I do better? What should I have done better that would have gotten us further? And right now, he's questioning if the Blazers front office, if the Blazers owner are on that same page with him. So that is why his tune has changed, and that's why Giannis's never did. Because Milwaukee went out and made the moves necessary to A, prove to him that they want to win it, and then went out and made it happen, made it work, did the big crazy trades that involve multiple teams that are required sometimes to get players to smaller markets.
And that's what kind of makes it as frustrating as it is to Blazer fans, is that they had a GM who said, the hell with it. I'm going to go and do it. I've got a star. I'm going to part ways with everybody in all the moves and admit I've made a mistake by sending some pieces away and go all in on winning a championship for that star.
Yep.
And that's kind of where Portland and Milwaukee, they're not as close as we like to think when when we sit there and we hear that comment from Giannis Antetokounmpo, because what Neil O'Shea has done is not given Damian Lillard the confidence that they're going to do whatever it takes to win.
Right.
And you mentioned the big crazy trades. It's not just that. It's the small moves that have paid off as well. And the building of this champion and how it relates to the Portland Trailblazers, it may be closer to the other side for this team.
Yep.
Here in Portland. We'll talk about that and get your feedback. 503-250-1080. AJ and Dusty on the Fan and the Odyssey app.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.